Good morning. We're a small group today, but welcome into the warmth out of that bitter cold. It's a time for us to enjoy fellowship with our family and friends here at Niff Valley. I have to admit, I haven't been here for a few weeks, so I missed the opportunity to hear about the streams of living water. But today is another day of that with regards to the charismatic. And when I was trying to think of what is the charismatic, what does this mean, I looked up and it was talking about charismatic Christians believe that the gift of Holy Spirit, as described in the New Testament, are available to contemporary Christians through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. These spiritual gifts are believed to be manifest in the forms of signs, miracles, and wonders, including but not limited to speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, healing, and discernment of spirits. So this is a time during the time of anticipation to sort of reflect on that and what does it mean to you. Please join me with a call to worship. And it will be up on the side here. A mighty wind has blown.
And tongues of fire have danced.
The Spirit is with us.
Just as Jesus promised.
God's Spirit moves among us and gathers us together. God's Spirit is poured out upon us. Worship God with joy. Let us pray. God in heaven, you are the God of rushing winds, swirling over mountains and across the plains, the God of mighty gusts, driving clouds and currents around the earth. The wind of time are yours. A century is but a moment in your sight. This morning we ask for the wind of your Spirit to blow through your church, stirring us with your courage, moving us with your compassion, filling us with your hope. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. At this time, we'll have a hymn.
I invite you to sing heartily this morning. Mostly it's hard to hear the people, but this morning could be even worse. So I invite you to sing up. Our first hymn is number 26 in the blue hymnal. And I invite you to stand.
Respect you, this blood of our
you take the green book, sing the journey, and turn to number 32, rather, if I believe, or if you believe and I believe. A little different mood.
I ask that you join me with the litany. What is the charismatic stream?
A life immersed and empowered by and under the direction of the Spirit of God.
Why should we explore it?
Because through it we are empowered by God to do His work and to evidence His life among the earth.
At this time, we'll have the Old Testament scripture reading, and it is Isaiah 11, 1 to 9, and I'm reading from the Message. A green shoot will sprout from Jesse's stump, from his roots a budding branch. The life-giving Spirit of God will hover over him, the Spirit that brings wisdom and understanding, the Spirit that gives direction and builds strength, the Spirit that instills knowledge and fear of God. Fear of God will be all his joy and delight. He won't judge by appearances, won't decide on the basis of hearsay. He'll judge the needy by what is right. Render decisions on earth poor with justice. His words will bring everyone to avowed attention. A mere breath from his lips will topple the wicked. Each morning he'll pull on sturdy work clothes and boots and build righteousness and faithfulness in the land. The wolf will romp with the lamb. The leopard sleep with the kid. Calf and lion will eat from the same trough, and a little child will tend them. Cow and bear will graze the same pasture. Their calves and cubs will grow up together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will crawl over rattlesnake dens. The toddler sticks his hand down the hole of a serpent. Neither animal nor human will hurt or kill on my holy mountain. The whole earth will be brimming with knowing God alive, a living knowledge of God, ocean deep and ocean wide. We'll have another song, we'll have the children's story at this time. If the children can come forward.
Oh, we have more here than I thought we might. Could you sit up, please? Thanks. Good morning. How are all of you this morning?
Good morning.
Morning. I'm going to read you a story today, and it's called The Black Dog. Is anybody afraid of dogs? Does anybody have a dog as a pet?
I have a dog.
You have a dog? Is it big and black? Yeah? You have a big black dog, so you're not afraid of big black dogs. What are some things that you might be afraid of? What are you afraid of?
I have a black dog.
You're afraid of?
I have a black dog.
You do? I had a little girl who was afraid of, at the cottage, there was a beach, and it was a sandy beach, and we would bring a boat in, but there wasn't a dock to dock the boat, so we had a big, huge tire rim in the water with a chain on it so we could tie the boat up when we came in. And it wasn't in very deep water, and when we went to go swimming, she started to scream, and she was afraid of that thing in the water. She didn't know what it was, but she was afraid of it, and she wouldn't go in the water until her dad dragged that tire iron out of the water and put it on the beach so she wouldn't be afraid of it. I don't know if she thought it was a sea serpent or what, but it was something. She didn't know what it was, and she was afraid of it. Yes? Did that scare you?
No.
Okay. This is a story about a big black dog. One day, a black dog came to visit the Hope family. Mr. Hope was the first to see it. My goodness, he cried, dropping his toast. He didn't waste any time in calling the police. There's a big black dog the size of a tiger outside my house, he told the policeman. The policeman laughed. What should I do? Asked Mr. Hope. Don't go outside, said the policeman, and put down the phone. Do you think the policeman believed him? The size of a tiger. Mrs. Hope was next to get up. My goodness, she cried, dropping her mug of tea. She didn't waste any time calling for Mr. Hope. Did you know there's a black dog the size of an elephant outside, she yelled. Yes, said Mr. Hope. What should we do, asked Mrs. Hope. Turn out the lights so it doesn't know we're here, said Mr. Hope. Can you see the big black dog? Could you see the eye looking in the window? That would be scary, wouldn't it? Adeline Hope was next to get up. My goodness, she cried, dropping her toothbrush. She didn't waste any time in calling for her parents. Do you know there's a big black dog the size of a Tyrannosaurus Rex outside? Yes, said Mr. and Mrs. Hope together. What should we do? Asked Adeline. Close the curtains so it can't see us. That's a big dog. It's now the size of a dinosaur. Maurice Hope was next to get up. My goodness, he cried, dropping his teddy bear. He didn't waste any time in calling for the family. Do you know there's a big black dog the size of Big Jeffy outside? What's a Big Jeffy? What's a Big Jeffy? Asked Adeline Hope. Never mind that. What should we do? Demanded Maurice Hope. Hide under the covers, they all wailed. You can see a little bit of the dog hair looking in the window. See that? And now they're all hiding under the covers. It was then that the youngest member of the Hope family, called Small for short, noticed that there was something going on. What are you all doing under there? We're hiding from the big black dog, they whispered. Oh, you are such silly, said Small, opening the front door. Don't go out there, cried her family. The hound will eat you up. It'll munch your head, it'll crunch your bones. But Small went outside anyway. So there's Small. And there's the big black dog. And look at how small is. Outside, the black dog leaned down toward her and breathed. My, you are big, said Small. What are you doing here, you guffin? The black dog snuffed at her. All right, then, she said. If you're going to eat me, you'll have to catch me first. And with that, she scurried into the towering trees. And as she ran, she made up a song. You can't follow where I go unless you shrink, or don't you know? The black dog followed her. As Small hurried toward the frozen pond under the little bridge and over the ice, she sang, Your paws are thick, ice is thin, a great big dog just might fall in. And the black dog followed. Does the black dog look like it's getting smaller?
Yeah.
Next, she scuttled through the playground, down the slide, and around the merry-go-round singing, You might be big, I may be small, but I'm not afraid of you at all. And still, the black dog followed. Not so big as a dinosaur, is it? Finally, Small had run all the way back to the house. You'll find out why they all hide if you follow me inside. And with that, Small tumbled into her warm home through the cat flap. Small was really that small. And so, by now, was the black dog. So that big black dog is now a normal-sized dog. Inside, Small grabbed a laundry basket, and as the black dog scrabbled in behind her, she covered him up with a loud, ha. Just then, the rest of the Hope family popped up from behind their barricade. You haven't been munched, she cried Mrs. Hope. You haven't been crunched, cheered Mr. Hope. You haven't been eaten, yelled Maurice. But where's the black dog? Asked Adeline. Without a word, Small lifted the basket. The rest of the Hope family was extremely pleased to see that the black dog was neither as huge nor as scary as they had feared. He doesn't seem fierce at all now that I really look at him, said Mr. Hope. The rest of the family agreed. We were silly, said Adeline. Only Small knew the right thing to do. Everyone was quiet for a while, thinking of how brave Small had been. You gave a lot of courage facing up to a big, fearsome thing like that, said Mrs. Hope. There is nothing to be scared of, you know, replied Small Hope as she went to sit by the fire, and the black dog followed. So sometimes those things that we're afraid of that seem big and scary, once we get to know them, they're not so scary at all. That's something to think about. Okay, you can go back to your seats.
Take Sing the Journey again and turn to number 18.
Our next scripture reading is 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 11. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate, sorry, God's various expressions of power are all in action everywhere, but God himself is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful. Wise counsel, clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. All these gifts have a common origin, but are handed out one by one by the one Spirit of God. He decides who gets what and when.
I hope you all listened to the children's story this morning and could hear Brenda, because I do feel that when we talk about the charismatic stream, we're a little bit afraid of the big black dog, at least some of us, because of our history of how maybe we have seen charismatics interact. And so today we're going to make that big, big black dog a little smaller. And I need to get my mouse. Gary Chapman is a marriage therapist and the author of the book, The Five Love Languages, and maybe some of you have read that. And he says that we each speak or have a mother tongue in which we express and feel loved. His argument is that at times when we do not feel loved, it is not because the other person doesn't express love to us or show us love, but it's we can't really feel it because it's not the way we feel or express love. Our partner might actually scream love at us, but we don't see it or experience it. And we might feel disconnected from each other. And when I work with couples, I always emphasize the importance of learning your partner's love language, learning another language, and we're fully capable of doing so in many areas of our life. And more than that, to expand and experience different ways of expressing and receiving love. Now, what has love to do with being a charismatic? I think it's very similar to the numerous spiritual traditions, the ones we have explored in the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and those we still might explore in the future. We might be personally drawn to one particular way of being drawn into that deeper relationship and awareness with God. But we do not only experience God's love for us and the world through practicing just one spiritual discipline, but rather numerous. And we recognize that none can be seen independent from each other, but rather very connected to each other. We have looked at different ways and traditions to explain and to experience our awareness and connectedness to God, and to hopefully find ways to deepen our faith and our practices, which bring meaning to our life. In the past month, we have looked at the holiness tradition, a tradition which focuses on the character of God. It can simply be defined as the ability to do what needs to be done when it needs to be done. A life filled with holy habits such that we respond appropriately to life events. Last week, we focused on the contemplative tradition, which focused on the steady gaze of our souls upon God who loves us. It is our journey inward, often through prayer, in which we waste time for God. Today, we will look closer at the charismatic tradition. I know for some of you, the word charismatic evokes some uncomfortable feelings. Others might say, finally, someone is talking about being charismatic. And it's Hendrika. That's a surprise, maybe. And I chose it purposefully because I personally, myself, and as a pastor of this congregation, would not necessarily use charismatic to describe myself or this congregation. And yet Foster, whose book Streams of Living Water has guided our sermons in the past 3 weeks, would argue there are no non-charismatic Christians. If you want or not, you are charismatic. The more I read the part of the book in which he describes this tradition, the more I came to believe that, yes, I am a charismatic Christian, and I see value in the charismatic tradition, and hope you can listen with fresh ears this morning the ways that Foster illustrates here that the charismatic tradition is a very important spiritual tradition that we need to maybe explore and practice. Okay, why is this not working? The word charismatic comes from the Greek word of charismata, meaning gifts. The root words in Greek mean grace and joy. So really, what we're called to be is a joyful, grace-gifted Christian. And that's a charismatic Christian. A joyful, grace-gifted Christian. Charismatic Christians emphasize the need to recover the empowerment and the gifts of the Spirit for their life. The movement of the Spirit and the affirmation of all the gifts of the Spirit in our lives is pivotal to this tradition. At the core of charismatic spirituality is the conviction that God is not absent, but deeply present. This spiritual tradition has much to offer as we grow into a deeper connectedness with God. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, others, and self. I'd like to highlight just a few of the strength of the charismatic tradition. Where did it go? There. You know, it's nicer when Dan does that for me, but I think I had to do it because I was too complicated. Anyways. So the strength is we want a nice, tidy God. And I can speak that to myself. I want, you know, as much as I don't want to put God into a box, but to kind of make sense of God somehow. But this tradition reminds us of the Jesus' words, the Spirit blows where it will. God is alive and active in our world. God surprises us with outbreaks of the Spirit we could never have imagined. We have to open ourselves, our body, our mind, and our spirit to God. The charismatic tradition constantly reminds us that the kingdom of God depends not on religious talk, but on power from on high. God is at work in the world, and God's people are invited to join God in the world. And I love this especially. The Spirit empowers all people, regardless of the socioeconomic and educational differences. There is a radical egalitarianism in the Spirit in which ministry is no longer limited to the professionals and the elite. And I think that's actually really, really Anabaptist. This is a radically inclusive spiritual tradition. As far as the Spirit is concerned, there will be no room for the categories that culture might use to divide the haves and the haves not. It is the Spirit. It is by the Spirit that we develop the holy habits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This charismatic tradition values the importance of experience. It overcomes the old dualism in a Western thought, which we often have in either body or spirit, and allows people once again to connect their faith to all areas of their existence. And I think according to Foster's description of the charismatic tradition, I do believe that we are more charismatic than what we think we are. Even if we don't do all the things that we might associate with charismatic congregations, we are actually a charismatic congregation. We can talk about that during Sunday school. Of course, we have good reason why some of us might struggle with the charismatic tradition. Every tradition has its strengths and its challenges. I would like to highlight four of the possible perils of this tradition. The charismatic tradition focuses on the emotive side of our faith. It taps into our emotions. and our experience, which is actually not a peril in and of itself. It is actually the beauty of this tradition. But it is how some people have used and I think abused this tradition. They've used their own power and their own privilege to manipulate and play with other people's emotions. And I think that's where the distortion comes in. It's not with the emotion itself, but how others have used it to manipulate emotions. Experiencing and feeling God deeply is important, but we must never reject reason or the mind. Emotion and reason are not opposites that we must choose between. We love God both with our mind and our heart. At times, some signs and wonders can be interpreted into superstition or magic religion. And unfortunately, the cynics among us often focus and fear this part of the charismatic tradition. We need to be mindful that the problems of discerning between the true and fraudulent are considerable. We must not allow the problems to paralyze our awareness of the Spirit's presence. Nor should we permit our fear of the unknown and the unfamiliar to close our minds against being surprised by grace. And that can be a gift. Right? I think that is a huge gift. We know the misuse of mystical experience is an ever-present possibility, but that is no reason to deny spiritual experiences. Another peril of the charismatic tradition is the danger of linking our walk in the Spirit to the highly speculative end-time scenarios that lack theological foundation. We have seen this in the past, and it's still there in the present. Foster explains that this might be due to the fact that some charismatic groups, and I think those are the ones that often I criticize or have difficulty with, isolate their spiritual disciplines from other great streams of living water. They only practice one kind of spiritual discipline, and even, you know, that never goes well if you can only see one side. You need to see more, all the different kinds that we can experience God. Just as there are no non-charismatic Christians, there are also no charismatic-only Christians. And in this tradition, there is a danger of divorcing the gifts of the Spirit from the fruit of the Spirit. Both come from the same Spirit. And we look at this as I read 1 Corinthians to you again. The Apostle Paul was a charismatic leader whose experiences, thoughts, and expression illustrate beautifully the mystical, gracious, and wonderful work of the Spirit. You'll remember, friends, that when I first came to you to let you in on God's masterstroke, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus and who he is, then Jesus and what he did, Jesus crucified. I was unsure of how to go about this and felt totally inadequate. I was scared to death. If you want the truth of it, and so nothing I said would have impressed you or anyone else. But the message came through anyway. God's Spirit and God's power did it, which made it clear that your life of faith is a response to God's power, not to some fancy mental or emotional footwork by me or anyone else. And now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of the healing of the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the discernment of spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. And to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. These are familiar words from Paul. Delving deeper into this charismatic tradition, I found it interesting who actually Foster identified as some of the charismatic leaders, definitely people that I would have not necessarily chosen. Besides Paul, he also identified St. Francis of Assisi as a charismatic leader. And that we need to sometimes know the story and the history of these people. St. Francis in his early 20s was a fun-loving leader of a crazy, wild, somewhat irresponsible group of young men. He left home to fight a bloody skirmish, a war with a neighboring city, where he was taken as a prisoner of war for 1 year. And then the year following that, he had to go back to recover from this bloody war. During these dark and lonely months, St. Francis experienced an ever-growing, ever-deepening, converting grace. And over the many years following, he changed his ways and followed the Spirit's leading, which led him to a life of living a life of simplicity and preached the gospel to the poor. One story is told how the Spirit stirred within him. The Christmas feast was nearing, and in a delightful spontaneity, which is often associated with the moving of the Spirit, Francis declared, "I wish to do something that we recall to memory the little child who was born in Bethlehem." So in merry abandon, he found a nearby cave and made the necessary arrangements. Just imagine the mystery and intrigue as the people of Greccio wondered what Francis was up to in the cave at the edge of town. Then Christmas Eve, the day of joy, the time of great rejoicing, arrived. The people of the neighborhood lit candles and torches to light up that night and made their way to the cave with glad hearts. Standing at the edge of the cave, they saw revealed by their lights a tiny baby in a manger. A baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth and warmed by the hot, steamy breath of a half a dozen cows and sheep. What in the world? Then Francis appeared and he saw it and was glad. And now the people caught the point. Greco was made, as it were, the new Bethlehem. They were filled with new joy over the new mystery. The woods ran with the voices of the crowd, and the rocks made answer to their jubilation. The brothers sang, and the whole night resounded with their rejoicing. Francis stood over the manger scene, uttering sighs, overcome with love, and filled with a wonderful happiness. Francis sang to the people in a sweet voice, a clear voice. He preached, speaking charming words. Then a member of the crowd had a vision that he shared with those gathered around the simple manger scene. His vision was of a little child lying in a manger, lifeless. But in the vision, Francis went up and touched the child, and the child awakened as from a deep sleep. The lesson of the vision was not lost on the assembled crowd, for the child Jesus had been forgotten in the hearts of many, but by the working of his grace, he was brought to life again through the servant, St. Francis. One commonality in reading about charismatic leaders who have felt the Spirit moving within them was that they spent time alone, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Somehow into this quietness, the Spirit became more closely known to them. I don't believe that the Spirit limits itself to a certain environment, but rather continuously blows and moves around and within us. And we are encouraged to notice the work of the Spirit and embrace the gifts of the Spirit, and who knows where that might lead us. At our first relearning community weekend this past fall, we ended our time together with laying on of hands and prayer for each other and for each other's ministry in our community. There is something deeply moving when the power and the weight of other people's hands lay upon you and people moved by the Spirit of God pray for the work of God in your community and in our community. We know that our minds only see dimly, but that the Spirit of God sees in fullness. We're all given gifts from on high. God encourages us to use our gifts, even if it is in our fumbling, bumbling ways. God will receive us and teach us how to walk more and more in the power of the Spirit. And you know, I think we need to put aside the past, maybe, of what we have seen of charismatics. We can be charismatics in ourselves, and that might be that you might be moved or feel drawn to pray for someone, or bring a warm and healing touch to someone, or a move to begin a new project or program, or make amends with a friend. The Spirit is within each one of us, moving around us. Let us for a moment, right now, listen and feel the mystery of God's Spirit. This week, open your ears, your eyes, your heart, your hands to the moving of the Spirit. When we walk with the Spirit, we will experience signs and wonders, miracles and healings, revelations and visions, which will equip us as God's people to build up the body of Christ and the kingdom of God. Amen.
Next song, 34, from Singing the Journey.
Sorry, that was Russian. Number 34, and Bethany will play it through one time. I'm not sure how familiar we are with this one.
At this time, I'll have the offering, if the ushers could come forward. Let us pray. Ever faithful God, we long to be faithful givers, modeling ourselves on you who have given everything to us. May your spirit of abundance, which gives more than we ask or imagine, grace these gifts for for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have an announcement you'd like to highlight or share, this is the time to come forward.
Just simply wanted to highlight the men's breakfast next Saturday, 9 till 11 for those few hours in the morning. Faith, sports, leadership, Greg Yancey will be here. I've been a part of a larger group within MCEC and one or two people from Winnipeg on conversations around faith, sports, and leadership. And so Greg's going to share a little bit and talk about a bit of his own story with that, decisions around sports and faith and how they intersect and all of that. So I think it should be a good morning. The sign-up sheet is outside on the bulletin board there in the foyer. So if you haven't signed up yet, I encourage you to do that. And if there's someone you've signed up and there's someone you think would be you would like to bring along who hadn't signed up yet from the church, outside the church, by all means, talk to them. And by Tuesday or Wednesday, I'll have to give Lyle an exact number so he knows what to be thinking about food-wise. So give that some thought if you haven't signed up.
You turn to 377 in the blue hymnal, 377.
You were over.
I want to take some time now for our sharing our joys and concerns. If you have some, please share. I know that we received an email early Friday morning just to share with you, and I think we sent, well, I know we sent it out through the prayer chain, that Louise Miller passed away. Louise is Karen Beringer's mother, who had been suffering for a long time with Parkinson's. It's always hard to lose someone, but I think she had been not well for a long time, and I know that Karen and her sister Jeanette had very much supported her over the last couple of years. So as they remember her and celebrate her life, we want to remember Larry and Karen and their children and their entire family in our thoughts and prayers this week. From what I know is that the funeral is at Blenheim on Wednesday, and visitations are at Urban Good on Tuesday from 2 to 4 and 7 to 9. Yes, Jeanette.
I'm thankful for all the people who are willing to do the grunge work.
Grunge work when we have meetings. I was thankful for yesterday that Ken and Ken and Owen were willing to come out in the storm and put away the chairs and tables that were set up by Terry and Wayne Eckstein and Kevin Cressman, this one, who's not here, on Thursday night for our meeting. And also Susan was our special music yesterday and did us very proud. Plus, she also looked after the PA system, so I didn't have to worry about any of that. So I'm appreciative of all the people who help.
And I was surprised how many women ventured out in that cold storm to be here and for breakfast in the morning. The basement was completely full, and it was a wonderful breakfast and a wonderful morning. But I was surprised. Let us take time to pray. Spirit of God, we call upon you as a lamplighter, midwife of change, comforter, disturber, inspirer, and advocate. Fill us with that rich mixture of peace and restlessness, calm and enthusiasm, so that we can truly care for the world beyond ourselves. Guide us with insight and wisdom as we pray and care for your people everywhere. For this winter beauty of this earth, we praise you. For the sun that shines upon the snow and makes it sparkle. Yes, it is cold. Yes, the winter has been long, but for a moment we pause and give thanks for the beauty of the season and the warmth within our homes. Blow your love into the places of dark despair and distress. We pray especially for all who strive for peace. We pray for the people in the Ukraine who are experiencing a very fragile ceasefire. We pray for Syria, Burkina Faso, Iraq, Afghanistan, and for countries affected by the Boko Haram insurgency, especially Nigeria, Cameroon, and Niger. For peace, O Lord, we pray. Spirit of love, this morning we pray for the family of Louise Miller, who passed away this week. As the family lays her to rest, may you comfort the family, be especially with Karen and Larry, Emily, Jessica, and Steph, and their families. We pray for the group from Nith Valley today who will be serving at the House of Friendship. We pray for Lori and Ken, for Susan and Fritz and Jonathan. May they be able to show your love through the food they serve and the conversations they might have. Bless them today. We pray for all the people who work at the House of Friendship. Give the strength and wisdom as they work with a very vulnerable population in our community. God, we give you thanks for the many people amongst us who are willing to serve their church and their community. We are your people, O God. You have given us gifts to grow and to live in community. Inspire us to move and change and to bring healing and hope to the people we encounter this week. The Spirit of God dwells in us. Amen.
I'd like you to turn to 427, and if you feel so, like, whatever feel you feel like, please do so. I will just sing and direct. Moved by the Spirit. And would you stand, please? 427.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Holy Spirit breathe love into your heart. And may Jesus himself show you the way. Amen.